Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most practically useful topics in your entire GCSE Maths course: ratio, proportion, and rates of change. I'm talking about gradients, compound interest, speed, density, pressure, the kind of maths that actually shows up in real life and the kind that examiners absolutely love to test. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or any other board, this topic appears across both foundation and higher tier papers, and it carries serious marks. So stick with me for the next 10 minutes, and by the end, you'll have a clear, confident understanding of every key concept, plus the exam tips that can make the difference between dropping marks and nailing full marks. Let's get into it. Let's start with gradient as a rate of change. When you see a straight line graph, the gradient tells you how fast one quantity is changing relative to another. Think of it as the steepness of the line. A steeper line means a faster rate of change. A flatter line means a slower rate of change. Here's the formula you need to know. And yes, you must memorize this. Gradient equals change in y divided by change in x. You might also see it written as rise over run. Both mean exactly the same thing. To calculate the gradient from two points, say the points 2, 4, and 6, 12, you do this. Subtract the y values, that's 12 minus 4, which gives 8. Then subtract the x values, that's 6 minus 2, which gives 4. Divide 8 divided by 4 equals 2. So the gradient is 2. Now here's the really important bit that examiners love to test. What does that gradient mean in context? If your graph shows distance on the y-axis and time on the x-axis, a gradient of 2 means the object is traveling at 2 meters per second. If it's a cost graph, a gradient of 2 means the cost increases by 2 pounds for every extra unit. Always interpret the gradient using the units on the axis. This is where marks are won or lost. One critical thing to watch: a negative gradient means the quantity is decreasing. A horizontal line has a gradient of 0, no change at all, and a vertical line that has an undefined gradient. Examiners do ask about this. Now let's move on to compound interest and repeated percentage change. This is a higher tier favorite and it trips up so many candidates. Let's make sure you're not one of them. Simple interest is straightforward. You earn the same amount of interest each year based on the original amount. But compound interest is different. With compound interest, you earn interest on your interest. Each year, the interest is added to the total, and next year's interest is calculated on that new, larger total. That's why compound interest grows exponentially. It curves upward rather than going in a straight line. The formula is A equals P multiplied by the bracket 1 plus R divided by 100, close bracket, all raised to the power N. Let's break that down. A is the final amount, what you end up with. P is the principal, the amount you started with. R is the annual interest rate as a percentage. And N is the number of years. So if you invest £2,000 at 3% compound interest for 5 years, you'd calculate A equals 2,000 multiplied by 1.03 to the power of 5. That gives you 2,000 multiplied by 1.1593, which equals approximately £2,318.55. Notice that multiplier 1.03. That's where the 3% comes from. You add 1 to the decimal equivalent of the percentage. For a 5% increase, the multiplier is 1.05. For a 12% increase, it's 1.12. For a 20% decrease, like depreciation on a car, the multiplier is 0.80. This multiplier approach is the fastest, most reliable method, and examiners award marks for using it correctly. Repeated percentage change works on exactly the same principle. If a population increases by 4% each year for 3 years, you multiply by 1.043 times, or equivalently, by 1.04 cubed. Now let's talk about compound measures: speed, density, and pressure. These three are linked by the same mathematical structure, and once you understand that structure, all three become straightforward. Speed equals distance divided by time. The units are typically meters per second or kilometers per hour. If a car travels 150 kilometers in 2.5 hours, the speed is 150 divided by 2.5, which equals 60 kilometers per hour. Density equals mass divided by volume. The units are typically grams per cubic centimeter or kilograms per cubic meter. If a block of metal has a mass of 540 grams and a volume of 60 cubic centimeters, the density is 540 divided by 60, which equals 9 grams per cubic centimeter. Pressure equals force divided by area. The units are newtons per square meter, also called pascals. If a force of 200 newtons acts on an area of 0.5 square meters, the pressure is 200 divided by 0.5, which equals 400 pascals. The formula triangle is your best friend here. Draw a triangle. Put the top quantity, distance, mass, or force at the top. Put the two bottom quantities side by side at the bottom. To find the top quantity, multiply the two bottom ones. To find a bottom quantity, divide the top by the other bottom. Cover up the one you want, and the triangle tells you what to do. But, and this is crucial, always check your units before you calculate. If distance is in kilometers and time is in minutes, you cannot just divide them and call the answer kilometers per hour. You must convert first. This is one of the most common reasons candidates lose marks. Right, let's talk exam strategy. These are the tips that senior examiners wish every candidate knew. Tip one, show you're working. In a four-mark calculation question, the marks are usually awarded for the method, not just the final answer. Even if you make an arithmetic error, you can still earn 3 out of 4 marks if your method is correct. Never just write down an answer with no working. Tip two, include units in your final answer. Forgetting units is one of the most common ways to drop a mark. If you calculate a speed, write the units, meters per second, or kilometers per hour. If you calculate a density, write grams per cubic centimeter. The mark scheme will specifically require correct units. Tip three, don't confuse gradient with y-intercept. The gradient is how steep the line is. It's the coefficient of x in the equation y equals mx plus c. The y-intercept is where the line crosses the y-axis. That's the C value. Examiners regularly test whether candidates know the difference. Tip four, for compound interest, never add the interest separately for each year. That's simple interest, not compound. Always use the multiplier method, P multiplied by the bracket 1 plus R over 100 raised to the power N. It's faster and it's what the mark scheme expects. Tip five, when a question says interpret, it wants you to explain what the number means in context. Don't just say the gradient is 3. Say the gradient is 3, which means the temperature increases by 3 degrees Celsius for every minute that passes. That contextual interpretation is what earns the mark. Tip 6, for show that questions, you must demonstrate every step of the working. The answer is given to you. What examiners are marking is your method and your ability to communicate it clearly. Time for a quick fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I reveal it. Question 1, what is the formula for gradient? Answer, change in y divided by change in x. Question 2, in the compound interest formula, a equals p times bracket 1 plus r over 100 close bracket to the power n, what does p stand for? Answer, the principal or starting amount. Question 3, what is the multiplier for a 15% decrease? Answer, 0.85. Question 4, a car travels 240 kilometers in 3 hours. What is its average speed? Answer, 80 kilometers per hour. Question 5, what are the units for pressure? Answer, newtons per square meter or pascals. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section before your exam. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must remember. 1, gradient equals change in y over change in x. And always interpret it in context using the axis units. 2, compound interest uses the formula A equals P times 1 plus R over 100 to the power N. Use the multiplier method every time. 3, for compound measures, remember the formula, triangles, distance speed time, mass density volume, force pressure area. Or, always check and include units in your answers. 5, show every step of your working method marks are there to be earned. You've got this. This topic is entirely learnable, and with a bit of practice on past paper questions, you'll find these calculations become second nature. Good luck in your exams. I'm rooting for you.